Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today at the Automatica Fair here in Munich. I'm Andreas Spitzauer, Head of Investor Relations, and today with me are Dr. Reuter and Mr. Schulag, CEO and CFO of the KUKA AG, and Mr. Gundel, CEO of the Robotics Division of KUKA. And we would like to discuss today the latest developments within KUKA and to present the new member of our robot family, the Aculus, which is a kind of a new small robot, and we have kind of the premiere here today at Automatica. Today, the presentation is also available on our homepage, www.kuka.com/investorrelations. With this, I would like to hand over to Dr. Reuter.
Thank you, Andreas. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Very warm welcome from Stefan, from Manfred Gundel, who is heading the robotics business, and also Andreas, to the press conference here at the occasion of the Automatica Munich. This flagship fair robot provides us an opportunity to look behind the financials, not only to look in our numbers, but also give you the opportunity to talk about market developments and the future of our industry. In addition, as Andreas already mentioned, we are very pleased today to welcome one new member of the robot family, the new robot Aculus. And the Aculus, as Manfred will point out later, is clearly one basis of our strategic move towards more general industry and to further penetrate the robotics market. On the mega trend, and something where I would like to that you join me in going one level up and talk about mega trends before we go in more detail. The presentation, the idea is the following. I will go more on the trends and about the group, and then Manfred Gundel, who is heading the robotic division, is talking about Aculus, the new robot, talking about the market potential in the industry, and also will be available to talk about China and also the market potential for the special robotic business. Going one level up and talking about trends. I had an interview last week regarding KUKA and about the development of KUKA, and the reporter asked me if he can phrase it like the KUKANA is a trend, or the trend is a KUKANA. That means that KUKA is standing for lots of trends, and I think that's fair to say that KUKA matches and also benefits from lots of major trends. If you look here at the trends, and the trends where robotic-based automation is profiting and where we are shaping it can be pointed out as automation in industrialized economies, sustainability, automation in emerging markets, rising labor costs, and demographic changes. I think we are all aware of this mega trends, and I will today help you all be together with go a little bit deeper and see how KUKA is shaping the trends and what we can do and how we can benefit from this mega trend. Going into the first one is increasing automation in industrialized countries. As we know, for many decades, production steps in industrialized countries have been automated in order to be more efficient in the processes, improve quality, and improve output. At the beginning, robotic-based applications were mainly in two growth areas, in automotive industries where we are strong, and also in large-scale economies. Even, and I talked in the past about robotic density, so the number of robots and the number of installed robots in the spaces compared to the number of employees is highest in these two areas. In recent years, however, we have seen an increasing number of robots in other industries and in non-automotive and in smaller companies, where we see a stronger drive towards automation and to automate operations. Here also, the robotic-based automation brings convincing advantages in the flexibility and an increase in productivity. We at KUKA are playing an active role in this process. I will give you some examples. On the one hand, our lightweight robot, which we have presented you, and where the advantage is clearly safety and sensitivity, that we, for example, can program the robot by guiding the arm. You can see the lightweight here on the picture. So you can program it by guiding the robot arm, and then the robot repeats the movement. I think that's a great advantage for using a robot because it's getting easier to program, easier to work with the robot. Next one is the Aculus, which Manfred will present later. I think here the Aculus is the small brother of the Quantec, which we presented 2 years ago, and it's one of the big advantage is the ease of changing tools, so the flexibility of changing tools, for example. It has been tailored especially to benefit or to bring benefits to KUKA in the general industry market, where clearly we want to be number one in automotive, but the long-term path is to get less dependent on automotive, keep our number one position, but gain market share in general industry. Third example is KUKA MX Automation, where same what's behind it. We want to sell more robots, quality robots, and MX Automation allows to work with a PLC so that the broader software basis can be plugged in with KUKA, that the higher number of robots in the end can be sold because we have a higher number of users which can program, which can work with robots. That's on the industrial side. If we come to the next one, sustainability. Sustainability is not a fashion. It's an important social development, and KUKA, it's important, and we are driving force in this process. On the product side, but also on the process side. Let me come to two examples here. For example, at the MIE Carbon cluster in Augsburg, we are working closely with other companies. You know, SGL Carbon is close to Augsburg. We have the triangle of Munich, Augsburg, and Ingolstadt, where carbon fiber is an important material which we know how to handle, where the process of handling carbon fiber is developed and where we are part of this cluster. Another important fact of sustainability is the new Quantec, which we released 2 years ago, where it's very important to reduce the energy consumption. And as we pointed out 1 year ago, 2 years ago, the energy consumption of the Quantec is 30% less compared to the old robot. And this over lifetime gives you strong arguments why your robot and the energy efficiency is very good for the customer. In the end, it pays off, it pays back for the customer. Therefore, sustainability is important on the product side and also on the process side for KUKA, and an important part for the further development. Coming to the emerging markets. I think emerging markets is in everybody's mouth, so people are talking about that we see limited growth in Europe, we see limited growth in U.S., where U.S. is picking up more, but in the end we see big growth in China. Also there might be some slower growth in China, but clearly for us, China is a big growth market. There are two main features or two main facts which are important if you look at China. One is the increasing quality requirements. So the three arguments for robotic-based automation are cost, quality, and throughput. Very important is the quality, for example, in the car industry where you have in a car body more than 1,000 welding spots, and if you do it manually or automated, it's a big difference, and therefore quality by robot-based automation is a clear goal, and it's clear one of the developments which are important for China and other developing countries to get to the quality, especially for their export markets. Second one is rising costs. You've seen lots of examples in the news where rising costs in China, where labor costs are not increasing by 3-4%, but by 15-20% on a lower basis, but rising costs is clearly one of the drivers of automation. Both criteria, both facts, will be clearly a driver of automation in these countries. For us, we came to China years ago, Manfred and the team, Frank Klingemann, who also sits here in the audience, he is heading the systems business in Europe. Welcome, Frank. Both divisions went to China very early, and they did start with automotive. So automotive, we are in robotics, clearly leading in China, and that's the right basis to also penetrate further the robotic-based automation in other industries. So starting with automotive, being strong in automotive, and then getting in the second step a leader also in industry. And this position, being a quality high-tech company in automotive, is also the road into general industry, where Manfred will tell you later more about how we are going to run this road and to be convincing. You've seen Hua Heng, one important customer in China. We posted a contract, I think, in March this year. You see that automotive, but also GI is very important in China. Fourth trend, rising labor costs. I think what you know is KUKA in the field of automation has an experience of over 35 years. So major developments have been driven by us, and we are driving this automation. The rising labor costs are, as mentioned, just for China, are not only a problem in industrial countries, but also in the emerging markets. And the development, what we've seen in the past, that China became a global manufacturing footprint for the whole world, that lots of production posts had been shifted from Europe and the U.S. to China. This development is somewhat as a redevelopment that the countries in Europe and U.S. are taking over, taking back production. And what does it mean? Clearly one driver that the rising labor costs in China are asking for more automation in China. However, the the non-equal balance between the Chinese production and the U.S. Are asking or seeing that more production is moved towards U.S. And to be competitive in the U.S., you need even more automation, and that's exactly where we as KUKA can help our customers to be more productive, to be more efficient, and working on further automation. So the automation in China, but also the relocation of production to the home countries again, is clearly a driver, which we already see today, that U.S. is doing more production, and also for Europe the trend will come. Last but not least, the demographic changes. So we have clearly the aging population will clearly have substantial higher requirements in the medical care sector. This is, in addition, we will have additional costs with this trend, and clearly automation comes when you have to avoid cost and when you will offset cost. And clearly here, robotic-based automation is the most flexible form of automation, and clearly if the costs in the health and the medical care sector are increasing, automation is one of the drivers to work against the cost. We have been active and we have been very successful in the healthcare. You've seen the Siemens contracts, and it's clearly one of the future drivers for KUKA. Now, putting the trends in a row and talking about what we see, we here at the team, the management team, are convinced that the development of the robotic-based automation and the efficiencies in the industry will clearly drive further growth in robotics and also in automation. We have seen some 100,000 robots in 2011, which is somewhat of the basis, primarily in automotive, but clearly the penetration in industry is growing. Certain trends, and you put it into levels. So one is clearly the move from the automotive towards more the industry, which will help to grow the numbers. Then we talk about emerging markets. We talk about service robotics. So we have certain trends, which in addition clearly will be the next driver, the next automation driver. So we have seen, since when we met here 2 years ago, talking about Quantech, talking about automotive, and we have seen in the last 2 years a big jump or a strong demand from automotive. We do see an unchanged demand from automotive, so our good and our premium OEMs, which are our customers, a Daimler, Volkswagen, a Ford, a BMW, are very heavily asking for demand from our side. At the same time, we are expanding to an industry and the emerging markets, which shows that we, besides automotive, we also have seen automation trend, which will keep us busy for the next years. Let's go to both divisions. And I'm very happy to have Manfred today here, because he and his team have moved up the robotics division over the last 2 years to a number two position, which is great. We gained market share. And not only we gained market share and be number two, but also in the first quarter he has realized an EBIT margin of 10.4%. And, you know, this combined with the number two position is clearly fantastic. And I want to thank again Manfred and the team. That's a great job. That we really over the last 2 years have made this progress, and that's only something which we can do in a team, and if all the team in the region on the product side work together. Thank you for the robotics division to this. On China, I think China is something where Manfred will go in more detail. We will have a closer look on China, but clearly China from the market, it's very important that China as a robotic market will move from a midfield position, which they have ranked over the last years more in a top rank. So we expect that the number of robots sold in China will be the highest numbers compared to other regions. So China will leading the pack. And it's something where we also focus on China on the assembly side, on the product side, but also most important on the sales and distribution side. The labor costs, which we already talked, are accelerating. So that's also clearly a trend where we see big potential in China. And we will, as mentioned, benefit. We have a strong position in automotive, but we are also leveraging this position in general industry. So the what you see today and later is clearly in the robotics side that we have a product portfolio and that KUKA offers the most comprehensive range of products. What does it mean? On the one hand, we do have a very big robot, the Titan, lifting 1.3 ton, and now Manfred is introducing the Agilus, the new small robot, and we also do have the lightweight robot. The big the broad portfolio of KUKA offers us that we, for our customers, and the customer is always first, we can offer optimal solutions tailored for customers. And something where you have on the very left side the Agilus, distinguished by speed and the broad spectrum of applications, especially in the industrial sector. If you go more in the middle part of the page, you see that we will in the future have the Agilus with a sensitive flange at the end, which in the Axis 6 gives some sensitivity. And if it comes to into direct contact with materials, it allows functions like polishing and grinding. So you see it's some like an upgrade, so you have a sensitive flange on top of the Agilus. In the next stage, the lightweight robot will allow that we have an all-axis sensitivity, and this allows further applications. So what you show on this page is that the broad spectrum where KUKA can do solutions for its customers. We talk about robots, but in the end we're talking about solutions for our customers and want to have solutions to be more efficient and to automate processes, and that's where also our people at the booth are convincing customers that with our robots from the Agilus towards the lightweight robot we can offer solutions, robots, applications, and the end turnkey solutions where it can be based on robots and applications. But Manfred will clearly talk in more detail about the product variety. Having also, it's a robotic fair, so clearly the focus in robotics, but let me also look at the system side because it's the second main leg of KUKA. And as mentioned in the last meetings, KUKA systems, it's really important that we are global, that we have leading positions in areas where we want to focus on. So clearly KUKA is number one in body and white. KUKA is leading in assembly and test, and also in our applications in the techno solutions, we have leading positions globally. In this area, we have to focus on Asia because also the growth we see is coming from Asia, and Frank and the team and Larry are working on this projects in Asia. But also long-term, it's important that we, as in the robotics division, we focus on the general industry because the cyclicality in automotive, which you don't see today, but we will see in some point in time, and we today see a stable automotive development, also the same development as in robotics. Demand is stable in automotive, and as you can see, or if you have questions later for 12, we have very good forecast or a very good view on the whole year, and it also looks at the next year is also looking very positive on the automotive side. So defending our strong positions in automotive in Europe and Americas, but grow in Asia and grow in other areas, general industry as in robotics. Here we want to achieve a more balanced distribution of sales in the next years. And that's where we focus on aerospace. Aerospace, we see development technically that's going from heavy to light automation. Light automation, again, robotic-based automation. We see major contacts in China, in Brazil, in South America, and also in Russia. And also the cycle is different to automotive. So clearly aerospace is one area where we also have the combination of robot cells and turnkey solutions which will allow us to go in aerospace. Logistics, the second part or the second focus on the systems beside automotive. We have finalized big projects in the US, and we see also here a big potential in the further development of logistics, not logistics as a pure warehouse system, but logistics as a solution for the customers. And we do have certain solutions in KUKA. So we do have software clearly. We do have our OmniMove. So we have certain OmniMove. It's a navigating vehicle which can move things from a stock to people. So we have certain facts or certain features in KUKA where the combination can allow to work on nice solutions for the customer. Our goal in KUKA is to clearly create values to profitable growth, and this is clearly in the two main areas, systems and industrial robotics, to maintain our leading positions, automotive, and to be stronger in general industry. Come to it in a minute. Same time, have also our leg in the medical side. The medical side is in some ways a market where we are for years, but in other areas also where we have to work on solutions, because only solutions can have more efficient process, and only solutions will allow to decrease cost in the medical sector. For us, important as a team that we stick to our goals. So our goal for 2011, for 2012 already, is 5% in systems and 9.5% to 10% in robotics. Having seen that Manfred and the team can do more in the first quarter of 10.4, clearly the question is, what can be longer term goals? I think we are convinced that we can do more than 10%, and depending on the penetration of the medical side, depending on the share of the general industry in robotics, we can also see a margin which can go towards 12%. It's nothing for 12 or 13, but it's more like a longer-term potential which we see, and it's clearly depending on the mix, on the products, and on the development of the markets. But that's something where clearly we in both areas we see a system, the longer-term potential of 5% plus, and robotics of some form towards 12%. Thank you very much for your attention so far. And I would like to hand over to Manfred and to give you more details on the growth in the general industry, about Agilus and activities in China.
So thank you very much for the great presentation. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. I would like to build on what Till just said. Starting with the market, after then focus on general industry, particularly about the fact that automation becomes easy. After then, the world premiere of the Agilus. Then I would like to talk about the importance of the Chinese market, and finally a virtual tour over the booth. So what is the current status of the market? The market achieved an all-time high with, from the articulated robots, 105,000 robots, plus 46%. Therefore, 70% is general industry, 30% automotive. And the good news is IFR, International Federation of Robotics, expect a growth of more than 5% for the next years. KUKA, we achieved an all-time high in 2011 with 14,500 robots, a plus 62%. That means we have a market share of 13.8%. I would like to pay out that the market growth after IFR is plus 9%, which is given by IFR, and we have seen KUKA growth plus 17%. That results in number two in robotics worldwide. And we are convinced to continue this trend. The position of KUKA in the automotive industry for sure is clear. We are worldwide the number one with around 28% market share. And hopefully you're not surprised that the target is here not to achieve a market share of 35%. Here the target is to stabilize the market share, 28 up to 30%, expand the number of OEMs, and to be profitable to the latest technology. The evidence with the KLC4 and Quantic serial, we are best in class, which has resulted in getting new business in the automotive industry. But, and the most important thing for us is general industry. And here you see the potential on the left-hand side, the number of robots per 10,000 employees of the developed countries, and on the right-hand side, the number of robots per 10,000 employees in the BRIC, Brazil, Russia, India, and Chinese, a potential of 19 times. Yeah, how is KUKA managing this challenge? We are focusing on general industry, focusing on country segments and market volumes. You see on the left-hand side for KUKA, general industry, the 10 most important countries, and then up the 7 segments with food, electronics, plastic, foundry, machine tool, arc welding, and tier 1. And you see the market volume, the dark color high, medium, and low volume. With these 10 countries and 7 segments, we cover more than 80% of the general industry market worldwide. KUKA established a general industry structure with the area management in Americas, Europe, and Asia, in every country region with a clear responsibility. The legal entity, the subsidiaries, are concentrated on sales and customer service, and we have a local product management. And we installed a key technology management for all these 7 segments, food, electronics, and so on. That means we understand the general industry market. I would like to underline these statements with 2 examples. The market description for food on the one hand side, and the second example is machining tool. From the food side, we have a high market potential with around 3,000 installations per year, and the growth potential in Asia. 19% of the robots sold via system integrators, and the focus here is Germany, Spain, US, Italy, and China. KUKA has the fastest palletizing robot with a low cycle time. Our modular system, supplemented by the mechatronic unit, guarantees the best ratio in cycle time and payload. A big or large range of product portfolio from 40 kilogram payload up to 1,300 kilogram payload, and this unique feature sets us apart. Next example, the growth in machine tool area. We see 3 different worlds. One world is the PLC world. The second world is the machining tool world. And the third world is the robotics world. We estimate a number of around 500,000 machining tools per year. And it's my belief that 50% will be combined with a robot in the future. An example we have in a product in our own factory versus technical, which helps us extend the productivity without manual assistance. That means we combine the machine tool with a robot for loading and unloading. That is the first step. The next step is KUKA CNC. A fully integrated NC controller in the KLC4. This technology of KUKA CNC is going to become more and more common, especially in the lightweight area, like working with a carbon composite. And the next step is the PLC world, MX automation. Not only machine tool, every, for example, packaging machine has a PLC. And you can operate a robot with a PLC, like a Siemens or Rockwell. That means KUKA, talk your language. But now the highlight. My new friend, or girlfriend, sorry, it's our Agilus, a small robot with a big impact. KUKA developed this system, the arm, the compact controller, and also the software in a very short time. We have the complete software technology from the KLC4 Quantic series adapted in this new contact controller, and KUKA is the only one who has the safety integrated for small robotics. We have two payloads with 6 kilogram and 10 kilogram available and three different reaches, 700, 900 and 1100 millimeter standard version, but also additional three variants with waterproof clean room and food. A complete in-house development of KUKA. And we will start to ship this system in the last quarter 2012 and expect a four-digit number for 2013. Now we are able to cover a big part of the market with our ageless series. And as you know, we have also a sensitive robot with our lightweight robot. That means we are the only company which has both a lightweight robot, a sensitive robot, and the small robot. That gives us the upper hand as we move from the industrial robot over the human-machine collaboration to the service robotics. The next very important point is for us the China market. KUKA sold the first robot to China. It was 1997 to SVW. This time I was in the development department, and I think it was my very important project to solve this robot for the Santana group. Right now we have an installation base of more than 7,000 robots and a market share of around 16%. We have the production in Europe, Augsburg, and Hungary. All other subsidiaries are concentrated on sales and customer service. Only in China, here we have sales, customer service, and assembly capacity of around 5,000 robots. From the market side, since 2011, China is the biggest robot market in the world, with around 18,000 robots, plus 55% in 2011. KUKA, with 2,850 robots, we doubled the number from 10 to 11. The market driver in China is, on the one hand side, increased labor cost, reduced availability of skilled labor, productivity improvements, increase of quality demand, and worker safety. In the last years, KUKA grew with double speed in comparison to the market. That underlines that we are quite competitive. Coming from number 5 position in 2010, right now we are number 3 in China. Here a selection of local customer in China, on the left-hand side, the automotive industry, on the right-hand side, the general industry. The share is around 50% automotive, 50% of general industry, with joint venture, European joint venture, and local joint venture. The difference is the local joint venture has an automation degree of around 20 to 30 degree. The European joint venture around 60%. On the right-hand side, the general industry, Sunny, we have heard about Wuheng, our system partner, is the supplier for Sunny. Sunny acquired Putzmeister several months ago. Is one of our most important customer on the one hand side, and you see above Foxconn, which make the very nice Apple products, is also a very important customer from the general industry side. The guidance from our side, automotive, 28 up to 30%, defense market number one position on the one hand side, but the challenge for us, for KUKA, is the general industry. Right now we have a number of 7.5% market share, and we expect for the next 6 years to double this number up to 15%, That means for us, robot by robot, segment by segment, region by region, a long journey, but we are sure, we are convinced that we are very well prepared. As you can see with our current portfolio, future innovation and unique KUKA culture, we have a very stable foundation and for a bright future. That brings us to the combination objective 2012, the Automatica. KUKA is a global player in the general industry segment. The booth construction opens itself up to visitors and neighbors, partners with all manner of communication forms. The integration between the KUKA robots and the ceiling construction is very nice. You will see a lot of applications like the Agilos, Speed Cell. We have a Vision Cell with 2D, 3D application. We have the KLC4. From the software side, we talk your language, as I mentioned before. The lightweight robot with a wrist assembly cell and the Quantic series with a special robots, foundry, palletizing, and shelf mounting.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Gundel. Now I would like to come to the Q&A session. So, first question, Mr. Klepp from Berenberg, please.
Three questions. For a long time, you haven't been very successful in the U.S. robotics market. So is there any chances that we can see you becoming more successful in the U.S. market as well? I mean, Fanuc and Diaz-Cava are very, very strong there. So I haven't really heard you talking about that since a long time. And in the past, you always said with KTPO, your, let's say, primary installation in the U.S. with one lot of prices, and it's the best showroom that you can have. I haven't seen any progress there. Secondly, on the Agilus, can you give us basically a little bit more detail? When is the production start? What kind of shipments do you expect? What are the margins? What's the price for those? So we can basically calculate the impact on your numbers going forward. And is it supportive for the 12% margin target? And last but not least, the systems division. I mean, there was a news out that Grenzebach Maschinenbau was buying a nearly 11.5% stake in an engineering company in Switzerland. Is there any chances that this is a means of probably combining your systems business going forward? How are you involved in that? And are you in discussions with Grenzebach on that one? I guess that's it for the time.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Klepp. Maybe, Manfred, if you want to go on the Agilus and the U.S. market, and I look at KTPO and the systems division.
Yeah, from the U.S. market, U.S. market is driven by the automotive industry, and this supports not the EBIT margin which we have in our mind on the one hand side, but we have the palletizing portfolio which is pretty good, and the U.S. market is dominated by the small robotics, and therefore the Agilus will help us to increase the number here on the one hand side. The second question, we will start in the fourth quarter 2012 with around 50 robots per month, and after then in the first quarter 2013 with the serial production. And this robot will support our idea of the 10% plus margin.
And what's the value of such a robot? I mean, from the size perspective, it's rather smaller, and the normal size of a big robot, we would probably say 25 to 35, depending on probably what kind of application. So can I assume that this is a value of 12,000, 15,000 euros per piece?
Well, a little bit higher.
Even higher?
Even higher, yes.
Yeah, but up to 20. Yeah. And if you talk about the growth, I think we have seen the chart with market shares. And for sure, for us, the target is if we acquire the same market share in the small robotics business. Then we say, monthly today, some 35,000-40,000 small robots market, total market, so the accessible market, and we want to gain some 15 market share at the end of the day, some 6,000 units. At end target, yeah.
Coming to the other two questions, I think one is, in addition to what Manfred's mentioning on the U.S. market, as the automotive market, clearly, the Agilus will help us to be stronger in the U.S. And however, what is important is we look at KUKA, and it was also what Manfred was showing you, that we are focusing on industries and segments, and we're focusing on countries. And what should be obvious, that the Chinese market is getting to be, is already the biggest market, and clearly strength must be that you focus on a region that you now face in the challenge or the opportunity in China, and also do the, maybe then it's something which you do then over the next, in however, as a second priority, because clearly if a market's growing, it's also not easier, but it's, you can catch more market share. The KTBO is a success, as you mentioned. We were getting awards in the past for one of the most efficient plants. The KTBO is an example where KUKA shows how efficient you can run a total plant. Normally, if Frank and Larry and the team are doing the engineering for a plant, they're handing it over to a customer, and then the customer is running the plant. I think what KTBO shows that KUKA can be efficient in running and in further optimizing a plant, and something where this is a Leuchtturm project where you can see it's very good. You know that it's also from the payback a good investment from our side, but it's also a big opportunity for further service business, that with this business we can show that we can run plants not only in the US but also in China, in Germany, in Europe. And I think that therefore KTBO is on the one hand a special asset, and we don't want to invest in this asset heavy, because if you look at the balance sheet you see some 80 to 90 million asset value for KTBO, but we clearly like this service idea. The press release from the morning that Grenzenbach was buying into Swisslog, clearly we have been informed by this. It's something where Grenzenbach is on their own. It's nothing where KUKA is involved, so it's a pure Grenzenbach deal. If you go to our page on the systems division, it's clearly something where logistics is an area where Grenzenbach is active in logistics, but we are also active in logistics in the US, so, and we work in some ways together on the logistics side. And clearly I see it as a big belief by Grenzenbach in the logistics sector. You have seen the Amazon Kiva transaction a couple of months ago, where Amazon was buying into an asset which is a logistics asset with software combination. And therefore I think Grenzenbach with his investment sees a big opportunity or a big chance for logistics application. And then Swisslog does warehouse applications, warehouse systems, and Grenzenbach does have an autonomous navigating system, so something which is moving around and can handle things. I think this combination can be, from Grenzenbach's perspective, a good fit, but something where you have to ask Grenzenbach.
Okay, next question comes from Mr. Wright.
Yes, first question, when this targeted 6,000 shipments of Agilus will be reached in your planning, and then the 12% return on sales target for robotics, what is your definition of medium-term perspective, and how is this 12% target influenced by, say, probably changed amount of research and development expenditures?
So the number of Agilus, with Stefan mentioned, 6,000 robots means 15% share in this field. I see it in 3 years.
As mentioned, the total small robotics market is something 30,000 robots, which is the market which you can attract with the Agilus, and that's 15% our market share in 3 years. Yeah. The 12% target. Manfred and the team has shown in the first quarter that we are above 10%. You know, the target is 10%, was 10% in the past, and if you reach a target, you have to see what can be your next target if you reach something. Clearly, as Stefan and I was pointing out already in 2009, the margin robotic has three facts. One is new product, which was Quantec and which is Agilus. So a right product and a young product basis. And with having launched Quantec 2 years ago and now Agilus, we have a very young, innovative product base. Secondly, this business is scalable. So the more you sell, the better the margin will be. That's something where the systems business is different, because you're selling engineering hours. The business robotics is more scalable, so a second effect can be clearly come by scale. The third and most important, we have four impacts, but the third and I think most important impact is the strategic move towards China industry. We know that automotive margins are more challenging or below the 10%, and only by the China industry development and by the share of China industry which margin above 10%, we can move towards 10% plus. So today we have a share of 50% automotive, 50% China industry, which we were mentioning in the past, and clearly the goal of Manfred and the team is to increase and to grow faster in China industry than in automotive, and that will allow us to also go above the 10%. Clearly driven by our focus on Achilles, by our focus on China industry. And I think the fourth part of this, of the 12% story, is our movement towards the medical application. Today in the KUKA laboratories, we do have lots of R&D, and the 12% is not based on a lower R&D spending. That's not our understanding. Our understanding is that we are innovation, we are leading technology. We are, you know, as you see here today at the booth and also at the fair, that KUKA is driving the robotic automation and driving the, I'll call it, the robotic future. And therefore, R&D is an important part, and 12% is not based on the assumption R&D is going to be down. It's more on the perspective of scale, China industry, but also the medical area that we had a breakthrough, and you know the targets of for the laboratories of more than 50, close to 100 million for the next 3 years. This based the 12%, therefore the range of the midterm should be 3 years, 2 to 3 years, and assumption is China industry, medical, and scale.
Okay. Kind of next question. Comes from Mr. Rothneiser.
Yeah. The Achilles, I think there are also some applications for automotive here. Final assembly for gears or whatever. Is it for you a totally new market with this size of robot? Or can you explain here something about it?
Yeah, it's not a totally new market, it's an existing market, but we purchased in the past the product, so we were from the cost side and also from the technology side not best in class. We were not competitive. Now with Agilus, we are best in class from the performance side, the technology, with the safety, as I mentioned before, and especially safety in the automotive industry, in this assembly area. It's very, very important. And we will get the combination of Agilus on the one hand side and the sensitive robot on the other side. Yeah. And this combination is unique. This will bring us the human-machine cooperation. And this is new in this market and will bring us from the industrial robotic to the service robotic.
Can you give us a comparison? So you said your target is 6,000 robots of this class. How much did you sell so far per annum?
In the moment, we have around 500 robots.
Well, I think here's something coming on additional on top, is that the motivation of the sales team is totally different if you have your own baby than if you have something you're buying in. So today, if people are selling it and you're selling a portfolio of or a range of products, you're selling bigger ones, smaller ones, and then you also buy in something to have maybe to get the offer. Now we can be much more active and go out and sell our own products. So that's totally different from motivation aspect, and that people are, you know, the 150 people down in the booth who are motivated to sell the robot, which is different to selling a product which you have to buy in.
It's important for the people which attended the dinner yesterday that we have today on a merchandise basis the Denso platform which we sell for portfolio purposes. So therefore, the people know the market, but they didn't really market the product because it was a merchant product. And this changes then with our own Agilus now.
Okay, thank you very much. Coming to the next question.
If you want to penetrate this new market, are you going to do this? You mentioned that you are best in class, that it's a highly innovative product. So is this the key argument if you approach the customers, or will you do it also via pricing? And asking about pricing, the customers, are they also sensitive to issues like total cost of ownership, life cycle cost? You mentioned energy savings for your other robots, or is the initial purchase cost, is this still the key issue for your customers? And second question relates to the general industry, where you want to grow faster than in automotive. What about your competitors? Also, are they also targeting the general industry? And you mentioned that you can manage better margins in the general industry. If competitors from the automotive side will follow or copy your approach, could this hurt the margins or the better pricing you can actually manage up to now in the general industry?
I would like to start penetration of the market. Please understand that from the cost side, we were not competitive. As a consequence, it was not our objective to sell small robots in the past. Only if it was a must for us, we purchased a very expensive system and sold it because we had the Quantic series, for example, and additional small robots. Now the situation totally changed. We have a pretty good cost base on the one hand side, and we have the technology figures. And similar to the automotive industry, 2 or 3 years ago, it was very difficult for us from the cost side. With Quantic in KLC4, we go to the customer, and the second part is the cost side. The first part is the technology. And we can convince our customer regarding our technology base. For example, the competitor has for the Quantic series from 90 up to 300 kilogram payload, 3 different lines. KUKA has 1 line, a modular system. From the spare part side, the customer needs only 1 spare part. From our competitive side, he needs 3 different lines. As a consequence, he has much more parts inside. That's one key aspect from our side. Total cost of ownership. The Agilus has no oil in the wrist. As a consequence, you have no maintenance cost. So that's also a very important point. Cycle time I mentioned before. Also
competition in GI.
In the past, KUKA is number one in the automotive industry, more automotive driven. And we were always the second one in the general industry. Now, as I mentioned before, we have a totally new cluster, a new structure. We are focused on these 10 countries and 7 segments. And we understand over the key technology management the customer needs. In the past in the general industry, we have the right portfolio. Now, we are best in class, beginning with the Agilus 6 kilogram, the combination with the sensitive robot up to 1,300 kilogram from the robotic side, and from the technology side with the KLC4, we are number one in the world.
And I think in addition to this, clearly there's a competition in both areas in automotive and in general industry, but if you look at our past, we did start in automotive in 96, even earlier. We did go into industry in 2000 and go into service industry in 2010. So learning from automotive, which is the most cost-sensitive industry, it's easier to move from automotive to industry and to do the leverage instead of having maybe a smaller scale business and going automotive, because requirements in automotive are the toughest, and therefore we can leverage our know-how, our efficiencies, our cost structure, and our sales team in internal industry.
Okay, next question from Mr. Schramm, please.
Two questions, if I may. One on page 16, the difference between general industry and automotive you have outlined there. Is it really realistic that general industry will ever reach the level of robot density than automotive? So I think it's really not fair to compare these two industries. And what is the more realistic level to make really a proper and realistic estimate here? And second point, coming back to KTPO, I think the question was not answered, which came from my colleague here, because if this really is such a big success if it's such a good project and you make a good margin on it. Why have we never heard of a similar project? So why has not been there a copy of this? It's a single case, and obviously it was never a strategic target to set up a similar project with another OEM here. So that's what I really cannot understand.
Counter, Marshall, do you want to start with the penetration?
The penetration of the GI market. I will start with the automotive sector. Automotive sector, all the workers in the automotive industry are very well educated, very well trained. As a consequence, the density is very high, and you can bring the robot in the field. Totally different, the education level outside the automotive industry, better level in the developed countries, but in the emerging countries, one key is the education. You have a very, very low education level. And once again, you have the three different worlds. With the PLC, you have around 5,000 workers educated. The CNC world, 500,000. And you have the robotic world. In the general industry, the key is to bring these three worlds together. It's not possible in the emerging market to bring one worker, to educate one worker in PLC, in CNC, and robotics. Not possible. But right now, we bring these three worlds together, we talk your language, and now it's possible with one language you can operate a PLC, you can operate a CNC or a robotic, and that is for me the key for the general industry.
I think in addition to this, it's not said that the automotive numbers are equal to GI numbers. It just shows you the big potential which is around that we, clearly if you look at the robotic penetration in GI and compared to automotive, it's that there's a big gap between the two automation levels and there is some way to go. It's not that the general industry will have the same level, so it only shows the big potential. On the KPO, maybe there was some misunderstanding, from my side I felt I did answer this question, so KPO are two parts. There's an asset part, $80 million balance sheet, where you have to invest into an asset. Second part is service. As mentioned, we like the service and we're working on service concepts for your OEM, where we're doing more than only doing the turnkey solution, where we are also, when the start of production is going on, that we are close to the customer. The service part, we are working on this, and Frank and Larry and the team are getting closer and getting more to service levels. Second part on KDBO is the asset. So the asset means that we have to invest, and in KDBO we did invest some 80 million, 70 or 80 million in 2000. That's the part which is not the KUKA model. So, and that's something where if we do some KDBO-like service concepts in the future that we like, we would do, but we would not go to invest in some 50 or 80 million into one plant, which therefore KDBO by the style of service, great, but the asset intensity is not the KUKA model, because in general systems business is an asset-light business. In systems engineering business, normally you work with low capital employed, you're getting advanced payments, and only our KDBO is something which is different in the segment. And therefore, KDBO, great story, working on other solutions on the service side, but we are not going to buy anything or we put some more asset on the balance.
Okay, next question.
I have a question once again on the lightweight robot market. Could you give us an idea of the average growth rate for the next 3 years? Then could you give us some names with regard to competition? Who of these competitors do you think will now lose market share as you are entering the market? Then I also have a question. Could you give us a view what share of common parts you are using between the Quantec robot and also the lightweight robot? Maybe this will help your cost structure. And lastly, you mentioned the machine tool market as a growth area. Have you already started or initiated cooperation with some of the leading machine tool manufacturers, or do you think you can enter this market by directly competing with the globally leading machine tool manufacturers?
On the lightweight, so you're not talking about Argolith, you're talking about the lightweight robot, yeah? The lightweight is, while Argolith is the small brother of the Quantec, which is, you know, similar way of production, similar way of assembly, the lightweight is a totally different product because it has sensitivity in all axes. The lightweight is therefore also, whilst we have some common architecture, some common strategic or some common assembly ways between Argolith and Quantec, that's different for the lightweight. The lightweight is a different product, and the lightweight will also allow to work on different applications. The sensitive aspect of the lightweight robot will in the end allow that there is a human man-machine interaction. While you see the Argolith is small, but if it's moving fast and it hits you, it will hurt you. So every robot like an Argolith or Quantec will work behind a fence. On the lightweight robot, there is a totally different way the robot can work in the future, that you can really work like a third arm. You can teach the robot, and the robot can then also do the same movement after you teach the robot. That means that it's a totally different concept, and it's also different to what Argolith and Quantec technology or family is. Therefore, also the common parts, you know, clearly on software side, we have some common strategic moves where we do have one software development, which in the end can be used for all robots. But clearly, that's something where you know, we have some, you know, we've also software generation. So we introduced KSC4 2 years ago, and the team is working on further applications and further software development. It's something where we clearly have some common, I'll call it some synergies between the robots. On the hardware side, it's different. It's also different technology. The application on and the growth rate on the lightweight side, while it's easier to think about what the small robot can do because it's already an existing product, and the lightweight allows big potential. And we are working with our premium customers in the automotive sector, but also in general industry, where we see lots of new applications which you cannot automate today because you need this man-machine interaction. And therefore, we see a big potential in the automotive, in the general industry, but also in the medical side. But it's not something where I can tell you today it's a market of 10,000 robots, because it's not an, how called it, and it's a market which is going to be developed. It's nothing where you have an existing market, because the lightweight is new. It's a unique product. You don't see it at Farno, Yaskawa, or ABB. You see maybe a sensitivity in one axis, but you never see it, or you haven't seen it in all six, respectively seven axes. So it's new. It's something where we have big potential in the non-industrial aspect, but also in industry.
One more question with regard to the machine tool
market.
Once again, from the modular system, Quantec series, we started 2 years ago with a standard product for the automotive industry. We had no foundry, clean room, palletizing, and shelf-mounted robot for the general industry. Now, with our modular system, for example, we have the same drive, the same reducer, for example, and from the modular system, we can finalize to foundry, clean room, palletizing, shelf-mounted for plastic, or palletizing for food. We have one controller with KLC4, and the complete technology packaging is with software version 8.3 for the general industry, automotive industry, and the software for the Agilus is the same technology base. So, machine tool cooperation.
Yeah.
We have no collaboration with a machine tool company, but we have a lot of partners. For example, Hamlet, DMG, which we work very close together, and they are very interested to combine the machine tool with our robot.
Okay, next question from Mr. Klepp.
Again, the U.S., we have been on the road with the CSO of Dürr just recently, and he has been stating that particularly in the U.S., the market is coming back. We have the oldest capacities in the OEM business. So do you see the same momentum in your systems business?
Clearly, I think it's also on the major trends, also this
this trend of getting production back to the US, which is more like a broader trend, rising labor costs in China will lead that we have some reproductation in Europe and in the US. And besides this, we have also seen that the big US OEMs like Ford, GM and Chrysler did invest in the past, in the last years, more in abroad. So they invest in Asia, they invest in South America. And now we have also here a trend where we see U.S. contracts, which I think is similar to Dürr, that's the feedback from Larry in the U.S. and also from friends here. So clearly, yeah, there is a trend that also after they have invested in abroad, some more focus on the U.S. factories, which are not as automated as the European factories.
Is it basically that the value of an American contract due to the, let's say, outdated technology and the low automation, that these are above average values with regard to European project sizes?
I think there's no rule of thumb that you can say it's better or worse. I think it's depending on the single project. So I think it's important that we are working with the premium OEMs, so the premium OEMs have to be global competitive. They have to work. If you look at the Volkswagen plant in the US or in Europe, and it's the same all around the world, and I think what our global customers do, as Ford and others, they want to have one system globally, and that's I think it's more depending on the customer and the project than on is it US, Europe or Asia.
Historically, you had problems with prepayments in the US. Has that changed? Have you been able to change your clients in the US, that the amount of prepayments for systems business has been increasing?
Stefan,
I would say we have one very unfavorable customer, and the others are so far okay. But the unfavorable customer didn't change over the recent years. But he's important.
Yeah.
But it's not a problem. It's just that the cash flow behavior is different to this one U.S. customer compared to European ones, and in the end, there must be a payback.
So things currently change because also the other suppliers of this big customer have the same issue, and he has also suppliers which don't have the financial solvency like KUKA has, especially smaller local suppliers. So it's up to this OEM to keep the supplier base healthy.
Okay, Mr. Rothenberger.
How advanced are you meanwhile by replacing the older industrial robots generation by the Quantec? So what's the Quantec share, and when do you expect everything has been replaced?
That's easy. End of this year, we have no material for KL 2000 and KLC2. As a consequence, beginning of 2013, 100% Quantec.
This is consistent with what we had to start at Quantec and Automotive last year, this year, German industry, so something where it's really in line of our strategic move.
Mr. Jasic?
I got one question regarding your Agulus and Quantec as well. What is your competitive advantage in time? Could you express it in years or months, or versus your competition? And could you give us a feeling of the price points of your competition? Of your Agulus robotics. The second one is Chinese competition. How strong is it? Are they included in your market position and your market considerations? And what about technology transfer, or how fast are they gaining competencies here? And maybe finally on KTPO, sorry to bother you on that, but did I correct it? Or did I understand it correctly that you like the service business, you like the revenues, but it's not enough to achieve an attractive investment on the asset, to not replace it or to not use it as an entry in the emerging markets?
I would like to start with China and the competition. China is the biggest market with very close to 20,000 robots, that's right, and we see also Chinese manufacturer like GSK, Ciasun or Foxconn has their own robots, and you know Foxconn has announced they have a big demand of robots for their own local factory. We are in discussion because on the one hand side we are
supplier for this partner, and they are very, I would say, very thrilled of our technology. For example, Kuka CNC is very interesting for Foxconn. Mm-hmm. So as a consequence, for us, this is a customer on the one hand side, on the other side, a partner, and we feel from the technology side, from the ARM, from the software, from the controller, and the combination of the mechatronic systems, very well prepared.
So the market share is small versus the European one?
In the moment, it's in the IFR statistic. You don't see it in the IFR statistic.
And I think technology-wise, the big differentiations come from the software. And I think it's comparable to other German engineering or software companies where in the end you have a pyramid, so where you have the high-tech products from US and Europe, and you have maybe a low-end, which maybe one arm or two arm, which is not a six-axis articulated robot, but you have some certain markets, and we have to decide the high-tech, the technology leader, so we work on development for the Chinese market, but really we have to see how deep we, you know, which market we are going to attract and which is maybe on a lower basis. And there also, when we talk to Foxconn, which is really interested in some of our automation solutions, but on the other hand, if they talk about 1 million robots, it's different robots. They talk more like one or two arms, which is different to what we are selling here, what we are offering. So something where in China, clearly people look at the robot and you receive something which is also looking orange but different. So and we have to work on our advantage that we keep the innovation track, that we are leaders in the technology. On KTPO, for me it's more the question of the model. So if the service part of the business is always, we know that service is in both divisions, in the robotics division where 20% of sales is service, which is a better margin business, so it's important to work on the service part, and same is for systems, where in the past we were handing over the plant to the OEM, to the customer, and then the customer is running the plant. And there's also a trend where over maintenance of other services, we're getting deeper into the customer and trying to get service. KTPO for me is an example how far service can go. Service can go from maintaining into running a plant. As you mentioned, that the Asia and other regions, the biggest challenge for our customers is engineering people and have staff on the ground, and therefore the models of how to run or maintain plants are discussed here in India, discussed in China, but the most difficult factor is the people, the engineers who run the plant, where we do have the same challenge like our customers, and we have to first to see that we develop the company and then looking at models how to work together. There is potential, there is service potential, but it doesn't mean that if there would be an interesting asset, you will clearly find also someone who is financing the asset. And for us, for Stefan and myself, the question is, do I have to invest into the plant, into the asset to do the service? I think if it's convincing, we find someone who is doing the financing part and we can focus on the service part. And therefore, I think I don't want to change the asset structure of KUKA. There is KTPO, which is a unique topic by the asset, but also we want to copy the service part, but not copy the asset part.
Okay. Maybe on the advantage versus your competitors in years, if you look at the Quantec series and the Agilus.
The innovation rate. Quantec is now 2 years old. Agilus is going to be launched this year. It's key that we work on a further work on the software, and I think whilst we are developing software and working on the next development also on the cost side, it keeps us to be on top of the pack. And what we have today, we have competition from Japan, which is the other big robotic market. We have competition from ABB and some other smaller players. I think we are already working, and there's no change because it's already today competitive. And with China, if you look at the robot, the main part of robotic is not what you see, the hardware, which has to be efficient from a cost perspective. The main differentiator is software, which is the nucleus in Germany where we're working on. On the hardware side, in principle, someone could could just reassemble and then look at the parts and buy the same motors from Siemens, buy the same drives, buy the same gears. But the smartness is in R&D, so developing the next one and not copying the old one. And that's something where Manfred and the team in R&D and also the team in laboratory is working already on the next generation. So if you follow, you can only follow what's today. And German engineering, and that's also in robotics and our system, is what is next. So if you copy Agilus and have it in 1 or 2 years, Manfred would have a Agilus 2, and that's maybe faster and even better to handle. And that's, I think, what we have to focus on. KUKA is innovation. We are leading innovation. We are leading innovation by new products. We are leading innovation by new solutions and by software. And that's what we have to work on, where people are behind us, but not only Chinese, but also Japanese customers and competition. And that's something where I think it didn't change. Maybe it's getting a little bit faster.
Okay. Mr. Rimmett, next question, please.
Some follow-ups regarding the Agilus. Should we expect any amount of startup costs for ramping up the serial production? Concerning the margin of the product, will it be margin dilutive, or is it an additional factor for the fuel, for the robotic sector as a whole? Looking at your target for the market share in general industry with 15% in 2017, what part or what role will play the Agilus, and what will play other aspects, distribution and all these things? What are the main drivers for this market share growth we expect in the next 5 years?
Maybe let me start and then... Is that a question or...?
Yes, on other topics, small one.
Okay. On the ramp-up cost, I think it's what we mentioned earlier is that the whole CapEx is between 2.5% and 3.5%, and the ramp-up cost of the Agilus are small single-digit numbers which are included in our number which we gave in the last meeting. So it's between the 2.5% and 3.5% of CapEx spending, nothing on top.
But what goes through the P&L, I think?
Yeah, but this is something which is important, that especially the sales infrastructure, we're using the existing sales infrastructure. Mm-hmm. So you have some marketing materials like flyers, etc. You have to provide. This is some additional cost, but it's not a substantial number in the P&L, yeah, because it's going through the existing sales channels and the existing service and sales organization. The only extraordinary expenditure was, as Phil mentioned, was a capitalized R&D, lower single-digit number, and that's all. Because if you look into development costs, a major part of development in robotics is already the controls unit, the software, and Manfred mentioned, I think, before that mainly the KRC4 kernel was used for the Agilus. And this would have been a major position in the P&L, but this benefits from the KRC4 now. So there is no substantial P&L impact from the Agilus ramp-up, which you have to expect or build into your models.
Mm-hmm. Second one was the question on potential margin dilution, where also Manfred and also I was commenting that the Agilus is supporting our 10% plus. So it's clearly something where it's part of the family and the same goals like 10% plus as the margin goal for KUKA Robotics. Target 2017, as you mentioned, 15% of the small robotic market. Clearly, having a product so only is not convincing. It's always a come together of certain aspects. It's having the right distribution power, the people, and you will see at the booth soon that there are 120, 150 people who are here for talking to customers, and sales force is most important. After service is most important, that you have your customers not only at the first time, but also if the cell or the robot is working. So it's clearly a mix out of service, customer focus, then applications, which industry, and I think you have also seen in Manfred's chart that we start with some application, then that further applications are following. You see electronics, you see food, so it's clearly having the know-how in the segment, having the know-how in the region, and having the right pricing where we already talked about. But clearly this product is to support our 10% margin target.
It is the main driver for the market share, the Agilus. So if you want to quantify the step from 9% to 15%.
No, we have no. There are two ways. I think the Agilus shows you a further step in working on the channel industry. We had the Quantec, which went into automotive in 2011, and we mentioned that the Quantec is the rollout in channel industry coming 2012. So this is part of the GI strategic move. The next step by Manfred is that we also have an addition. We have broadened our product range, so we are also going to smaller payloads in the Agilus, where we see an on-top market. So we have further robot, further market share, which we can penetrate. Therefore, the Quantec and the Agilus are a move which is, you know, both focusing on the general industry. So it's not only Agilus, but the combination out of the Quantec series, the Agilus, and other robots, also Titan, which is, you know, it's used in the general industry. For example, Titan in the tabac leaves, where the tabac leaves are moved when you need this heavy payload. So it's more like we have the whole family, which can be supportive of general industry. And Agilus is one part.
And maybe two small other ones regarding your R&D expenditures for the midterm future. Should we expect a sustainable level related to the sales figure, or is it a more cyclical development?
Yeah, normally you can expect for the robotics, because R&D is mainly robotics, some 7-8% of revenues in the range. It can be show cycles. Why? Because of the being forced in IFRS to capitalize certain R&D projects. So the more R&D projects you have which are defined to be capitalized, the lower is the initial R&D expense. If you have then some years with more projects being not capitalized, you could see some cycles in the R&D expense. That's something you can't avoid. It depends on the projects you have.
But the whole amount, besides...
The total amount normally is more or less stable. It grows with the business, but it could fluctuate between the capitalized portion and the P&L portion.
And the final question regarding a lightweight robot. You showed us you want to sell 6,000 units of the Agilus. Is there also a kind of a roadmap? Of course, it's a new market, you told us before, but a kind of a roadmap to get a feeling what we can maybe see in the future for the lightweight robot in 3 to 5 years.
No, we are working on this roadmap, and we get the customer feedback that there's a big potential, and we're working on application then. I think also if you go to the booth, you see an application where the lightweight robot is used for an application which cannot be done by an industrial robot. So we clearly can see what is the difference, how we can differentiate. So we have an internal roadmap where we are working towards. We are working with customers for the ramp-up and for the rollout of the lightweight. But as you mentioned, so today if you have the robot population of 100-120,000 industrial robots, we know small robots are 30,000, that's an existing market. On the lightweight side, there is not an existing market because it's a new product, and we're working with our customers on solutions which then, how called, help to ramp up the products. We get the feedback from customers, but you know, I think it's too early today give you an exact number, because we are convinced that this product will have a great success, and we have given you numbers for the KUKA laboratories of 50 to 100 million over 3 to 5 years, so we are convinced that this business is coming from lightweight, but I cannot give you today exact numbers about the potential. We'll go over time when we work, the closer we work and the more we see of the customers, the feedback, we can give you exact numbers here.
So it might be a progressive development, starting flat and then...
Clearly, it will be a development. We see a big, I'll call it demand, or a big ask for solutions. We are working on the solution because robot is as good as a solution is for a certain application. Today you will see an application where you can see what it can do, and you can think about how many applications could be like this. And then you should see that there is a huge number of applications, and therefore also the opportunity for this product is huge. And that's what we today with the team and also on the booth can give you some future aspects
It's not today that we can give you like 2,000 or 3,000. We only get the feedback from the customer that there is extreme new potential, also because you can move the robot and it's not behind a fence, so this interaction is much closer. And but something we're working with the big OEMs, we're working with general industry customers, we're working on the medical side, and working on these numbers.
Okay.
I think the ramp-up curve of a lifeless robot depends mainly on the OEMs. Yeah? If there is a certain application where we have a breakthrough for the lifeless robot, this would for sure impact the ramp-up curve, but it's too early today to count on that or not.
Okay, Mr. Klepp, please.
Sorry, just the last one. I'm sorry, it's plain short-term now. First quarter was splendid with the order intake. We know that great orders in robotics. So how has the second, or let's say the last 2 months evolved? April is over, May is already gone. So was the momentum the same?
Mr. Klepp, thank you. I would like to hand over to Frank and to Manfred. Here, maybe they give you some introduction that... What about the momentum? Maybe, Manfred, if you start and if you're not in detail, because otherwise you will
write
it.
I don't mind detail, really.
Yeah. It's sufficient for both of you to make only a weather forecast. Yeah?
Okay, give you a feeling. In 2011, the first quarter with 180 million order income was unbelievable. We topped this in the second quarter, and the first quarter 2012 with 265 was additional more than 80 million. Now, the last month, we are very satisfied with the figures, and when we discuss with our partners, we see that robotic is the driver. Outside of the robotic, especially in the textile or paper industry, we see the world is a little bit different. But from the robotic side, we are very satisfied.
Okay, from the system side, I would say the trend will continue. I think in the second quarter we will come close to our budget for the year in the order intake. And I can say we have more or less sure the orders for the year, for this year.
So unchanged trend from automotive, and that's, I think, in both divisions, the development of first quarter has been phenomenal. The second quarter is also in the right direction.
So that means that at the end of the year, a 1.9 to 2 billion order intake could be something feasible?
I think it's too early to think about this. We had a tremendous first quarter. We told you that we see a couple of big projects in the first half of the year, in the first quarter of the year, so let's wait and see. Today we are happy with the development. We had a great start in both divisions, and no.
I would say we are currently on the trend is that we are working also on a very satisfying financial year 2012 from the P&L perspective. You know, it's always a limitation on the output. And currently we are working on a very healthy backlog for year end.
Okay. If there are no further questions, thank you very much for your time and for the Q&A session. And if you have further questions, of course, your IR team is happy to receive your questions. Thank you.